Whee!
Oh!
Welcome to Get Lucid. It's a brand new podcast hosted by me, Joe, and this is Tom Smith.
Hey,
hello, Tom.
Hello.
Oh. As you can hear, I'm quite ill, but I'm still going to carry on with the podcast, so hopefully I'll be able to get through to the end of it. This is Get Lucid.
Oh,
well, I might do. You never know. I might just wake up. Let's not get into that now.
Don't even start.
So this is Get Lucid. It's all about lucid dreaming, which I thought we might as well start by quickly giving an explanation of what lucid dreaming is. I'm pretty sure that most people will know what it is, seeing that they're listening to the podcast. But just for any new people that are interested, or people that just want to listen to us talk, I don't know why, but
they love it.
Lucid dreaming. My take on it is that it's just that it's realizing that you're awake, that you're in a dream, so that you can like control the dream and do what you want to do. What would you sort of explain lucid dreaming as, Smith?
Oh, basically what you've said, you're in a dream state and you realize you're in a dream and you can be like, right, let's go have some fun, basically.
There you go.
About the real laws of the reality.
So there's like loads of different methods to sort of get into that state. But I think people sort of try so many ways that they sort of get conflicted. That's why I'm struggling, because I'm doing so many different things at once. Right, anyway, so I thought we'd have a little talk about ourselves quickly, because obviously it's a brand new show and we're first episode. So I said, my name's Joe. I'm only just really starting getting into lucid dreaming. And I've had some experiences in the past with my lifestyle, should we call it? And, you know, like when I was really young, I used to have nightmares that I was a bit lucid in, but obviously you don't realise that until you're a bit older and you've researched it. But I had a friend that used to talk about lucid dreaming all the time, and I sort of wrote it off as a fallacy, and I didn't really think it was real. And then my mate Smith came along and sort of convinced me otherwise, and now I'm well into it. So what about you and your experiences, Smith, with lucid dreaming?
I don't know. Basically, I had a dream like years ago where I was flying and sort of realised that I was flying. But I didn't realise I was in a dream at the time. I sort of just had a conscious awareness that I was flying. And then I was like, that was amazing. Woke up and I was like, oh, it was a dream. And then basically that film Inception, just like...
Oh, that is a great film though.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
Love Christopher
Nolan. That just sparked me right up again. And I was like, oh, maybe if this film's sort of like similar... look and take on the dream world, and I researched lucid dreaming, and found out that like these technique, like lucid dream is actually real, where you can be conscious in your dream and start controlling it. And I was like, oh man, I just want to get into this. So just started reading up on it and just practicing some of the techniques they go on about, basically.
I think quite a lot of people will probably end up being either listening to this podcast or, you know, getting into lucid dreaming from Inception, actually.
Oh, yeah, that film has definitely blown it up.
Yeah, I mean, not only was it a really entertaining film, like, well-written and that, but it did give a really cool take on, like, dreaming and how real they are and stuff like that. So I thought that was a really...
People just pass the buck on dreams, and then that film made you realise that, actually, dreams can be proper real. And if you're conscious in them, then you can do what you want.
Yeah, which is... pretty much the whole point of lucid dreaming.
So. Yeah, mate. Get lucid.
Right, cool. So we've covered the grounds. Right. So now we're going to explain our recent mishaps in the lucid dreaming world. Shall we say? But since I'll say right from the bat that I haven't actually had a lucid dream, whilst trying to do it. Whereas Smith, how many of you had? Did you say?
I think it's been about seven.
Seven.
I really should keep track of it.
Yeah, isn't that the whole point? I was just going to forget them. I might have had 47 lucid dreams, but I didn't really keep track of them. So
I was a bit lazy and didn't write them all down, whereas you should do. But we'll get into that later.
We'll talk about that a bit later. If you explain your
quite forgetful.
An elephant. No, they never forget.
Oh,
I'm terrible. Anyway, if you explain sort of how the methods you use to try and get yourself into a lucid state, dream state, because everyone has different methods, and there's so much information out there now.
There is. There's an outrageous amount.
Yeah, and I was kind of overwhelmed, so I kind of picked the stuff that was.
It is. Like every day I'm learning something new just from the internet.
There you go. And also you read books and that, so. Yeah, well, explain your, I suppose, go into more detail about, like, reality check.
The first time I got lucid was by something strange happening and realising that it wasn't, that this couldn't be happening in the real world.
Well, give an example of what you mean, because some people might not realise what that is.
Well, like, when, like, say, because what happens is, right, in your dream, something will happen and your brain will tell you that what is happening to you right now is completely fine, like completely normal, and it'll come up with some absurd reason for being fine, because that's what happens in a dream. And it's only until you wake up that you realise that that was completely, like, completely
outrageous.
Wrong and out of place. Yeah, outrageous. But if you can keep some sort of awareness while you're asleep, you see like a woman with three boobs.
Three boobs?
In a dream. You'd be like, hang on a minute, that's not right. Unless you're watching Total Recall, but you know, that's in the real world. But okay, so that's not a good example.
Let me do
something more freaky. Say, I don't know, say you saw a big fish that had a giant banana sticking out his back. In a dream, your brain would come up with some stupid reason of like, oh yeah, they've got that scientist in town who's splicing bananas to animals, and that would make sense to you in your dream state. And then you'd wake up and you'd be like, why did that make sense at the time? But so basically, you have this, you make yourself more aware. So in a dream state, when you did see this fish with a banana spliced to his back, you'd be like, yeah, that's definitely not right. Hang on a minute, this has got to be a dream. And then once you realise that, you become lucid, and that's when you can start.
So it's more. So rather than sort of just, you know, having techniques, it's also like self awareness and.
Yeah, it's 9 times out of 10 you'll realise that something's out of place, and you'll be like, you'll question your reality, and then that's when you'll be like, right, this is a dream.
Right.
But there are other things you can do, such as reality tests. But do you want to talk about them?
I can do. Yeah, I mean. My experience with reality tests is a little less fast as yours, as the fact that I don't do them as often, because I know you do them pretty much religiously now.
Whereas it's not that outrageous.
It's like praying, man, every hour on the hour. No, but
precise, but quite obvious.
I mean, reality tests. I personally feel that reality tests was the sort of key bit of knowledge that you told me. That sort of convinced me how obvious lucid dreaming was. If you get what I mean by why I said that, because before someone told me about sort of reality testing and that sort of thing, I didn't really understand the lucid dreaming as a process. So when someone explained, oh well, in a dream world, if you hold your mouth closed. And your nose closed and breathe, you can still breathe. I was like, oh, right, so there's actual physical differences between the two realities.
Yeah.
As soon as you realise that, you sort of realise that, oh, yeah, well, there is a massive bridge between both worlds. And I think it took that to be explained to me, for me to realise that, you know, lucid dreaming is a big deal. That's kind of hard to say, but there you go. But, yeah, no, there's so many different other... reality tests, like what was the one that you do with the light switch? Because that was prominent.
If you this one happens to me quite a lot. I think it's only because I practiced it a lot because it's easy to do. But just turn a light switch on, off, and then on again. And then usually in a dream world, it won't turn back on again. So that's just another way of testing it. Unless a fuse goes in your house, then you start doing mental stuff in a dream, and you're actually, you know, your light bulb's just gone. So that's one to watch out for.
You like walk downstairs. Like... Dad, make me a sandwich. No, son. Yeah, make me a sandwich. I'm hungry. It's a dream. You've got to do it.
Is that what you do in a lucid dream?
No.
Sort your imagination out. Make me a sandwich.
Oh, God,
your trees are boring.
That might have been a very nice sandwich. I don't know.
It would have been the dream sandwich, the sandwich of your dreams.
Sandwich of my dreams, yeah. Except it wasn't a dream, so it would have just been a I had a
quickly tell you about my lucid dream I had this morning.
Right.
Because I haven't had any for a couple of days, and I was so determined to have one. I just fell asleep and became lucid in the dream. And I was just trying to, I was trying to do all this cool stuff, like try and go to teleport to a new place and things. Like, I really want to go to this, like, tropical island sort of place that I had in my mind, but I couldn't get there.
Tropical island?
Yeah, you know, go somewhere pretty, pretty relaxing. But I ended up just stuck outside my front door, like, outside my front street.
In the bin.
Yeah, so then I was like, right, I'll just go on the first door I see. Went into this woman's house. And you get these things called dream characters, which are just sort of representation of your subconscious and that. And they're just people in a dream, basically.
Can they talk? Do they talk to you?
Oh, yeah, I said hello to this bird. She was in some, like, 18th century clothing, though, so it was a bit freaky.
That is quite weird.
And there's, like, a piano. There's a piano next to her, and I was like... Because, like, I learnt this recently. You can go into a dream and just do what you want, but sometimes you'll wake up or the dream characters won't be too happy with you. So I politely asked the dream characters if it was all right to play a piano. And she's like, yeah, go on. So I had a tinker on that. And then I was like, I'm actually really hungry. I asked her if I could go and have some food. And, like, if you're polite, they usually say yes. Went in the kitchen, got out a pasta bake that was already pre-cooked, which was lucky for me, and I ate that, and then had some Jaffa cakes, and I woke up. So you can have some quite boring lucid dreams, but... This is true.
Pasta and Jaffa cakes.
Yeah, so but one of the fun, cool things is, when I was eating the food, I could actually taste it.
Oh, so it didn't actually...
Oh yeah, I was proper eating a big packet of Jaffa cakes, and I could taste the chocolate and the Jaffa, whatever. What's that bit called?
The orange Jaffa.
Yeah. I could taste it all. It was delicious.
Well, I'm sure.
So yeah, it can be quite boring. It's quite mental how real the things can be.
Well, I mean, that all leads to the whole point of, like, how difficult it is to get lucid, because if it is so real whilst you're in the dream, it must be so hard to sort of break your conscience away from it and sort of say, no, slap it, like, slap your brain, like, wake up brain, and then sort of become lucid.
Especially in those sort of dreams that are, like, basically
very boring. Yeah.
So
it's basically real life, except that...
But once you're in that scenario and you're lucid, you can go anywhere and do anything. It's just that I haven't really sort of sorted out my visualisation skills yet where I can do that. I'm still struggling.
Well, we'll get on to that a bit later. So, yeah. Right, now we're going to do Get Lucid 101, which basically, each week we've decided that we want to have some sort of user input from people that listen to our show, and also a sort of a way that we can document how we're getting along with techniques. So, we're going to give a technique out to everyone, or an idea out, and everyone needs to practice it. And then come back to us. And next week's show, we'll talk about everyone's results, including ourselves. Maybe even get a caller in or anything like that. And we'll try and sort of work through it. And then we'll go on to the next one for next week. So this week was going to be sleep paralysis, but we thought that was a bit too over the top.
It's a bit too hardcore for the first timer.
So we've changed it to dream journals and. Writing down your dreams throughout the week, because I think it is, I mean, I can't really speak for myself because I haven't had a lucid dream through a dream, or at all, actually, but I have, however, you know, written down quite a few dreams, and I think it's helped me, like, once again, bridge the gap between the conscious and the subconscious mind. So, I don't know, how many dreams have you written down, Smith, in your career?
I've only written down about... See, I've only just started getting... Because, like, but we've only just started doing this.
Yeah, both of us basically got well into...
We have no idea about anything.
We're in no way experts. However, we are very, very passionate about it, so we thought, people will forgive us.
Let's just get lucid.
Let's get lucid.
Oh, brilliant.
So, I've written I've written three dreams down in my dream journal, and bearing in mind I've only been doing this for about a week, that's quite a hefty amount.
I've only written down four, I think.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for months.
But I can remember. It's because I'm a bit lazy, and I remember it, and I was like, well, I don't need to write it down.
If you have natural recall as well.
Yeah, but
it almost enforces you to be a little more lazy because you can remember it so well anyway. You think, oh, I don't need a book.
Yeah, but you'll forget it.
You will do eventually, of course, but yeah. You know, I can't remember my first piss, so. I did forget that one. I'm sure that was awesome. So there you go. So yeah, basically we want everyone to make
I
sure.
I remember mine.
What, your first piss?
Yeah.
Surely not.
No. Just want to be controversial, but
you must have been well young. I was zero. Oh, why do we get into these topics?
I don't know. We've got off track.
So we
lucid talk, this is.
So we've got dream journals.
Dream journal. Right, there's some tips for the dream journals as well. When you wake up in the morning, don't try not to move and just think in your mind and recall what the dream was and just try and get a clear picture of it. And then have a notepad by your bed, get up and just write it down quickly and just write down all the information you can, anything that was weird, the general gist of it, and just write it all down quickly.
You see, I read a good article last night, actually, that said that you could also use, like, a dictaphone. Sorry, it took me a while to remember.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Or a tape recorder. So instead of even... And you could hold it in your hand when you fall asleep so that when you wake up, all you got to do is press the button and talk. Because obviously it records the room, doesn't it? So you just press it and talk. And, I thought that was an awesome idea because if you're halfway between sort of, you know, sleeping and you know, waking up, it's a nice way to sort of keep that, like, calm and your sort of dreamlike state.
Oh, yeah.
Whilst dictating.
That's great because the idea is, like, basically not to move that much because otherwise as soon as you start moving and stuff, you'll start forgetting what the dream was. It's quite a skill to have dream recall because, like, you wake up initially... And that you don't remember anything. Just lie still and just try and trace back what happened during your sleep. Because you would have had a dream. You just can't remember it.
Yeah.
And it's just using that. And then the more you focus on trying to remember your dreams, the more you will remember. And eventually you'll find it easier to get lucid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even I said to you the other week that I hadn't remembered a dream for so long. And I sort of thought, well, before I went to bed, I said to myself over and over again, oh, I'm going to remember this dream. I'm going to remember this dream. 100%. I'm going to remember it. In the morning, I'm going to wake up, remember it. I'm going to remember it. And I said that for ages. And eventually I just fell asleep because I bored myself. But I woke up and I remembered it and I wrote it straight down.
There you go. It's awesome.
It does work.
The only problem is when you said with a dictaphone, some of my dreams are pretty messed up. And if you've got some people in your house and you're shouting out your dream journal, they're going to think you're insane.
Well, yeah, I didn't really... I sort of thought that people would have the logic, you know, say they've got a newborn baby that they've just given birth to, laying in a cot directly next to their bed, and they woke up and was like, yeah, this dream was sick. I fuck this horse. And then I run around and... Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. So...
whisper. You know, just whisper.
Or just use your logic. If you've got a baby, just write it down.
Yeah. So, depending on how severely damaging the dreams are, either write down
and if you've got people in the vicinity.
Yeah.
Yeah, because some of my dreams I wouldn't really want to talk about out loud. Because they're quite disgusting.
Well, you already mentioned the horse one, because you told me about it earlier.
my secret's out. Nay! Oh, that was better than your nay yesterday. That was terrible.
Oh. You want to have a nail?
A nail? Oh my goodness. Right. Now, I've proper lost my train of thought from all these stupid horse talks. But I was going to talk about reality testing properly because there's so many of them.
Yeah.
And each of them have, you know, varied amounts of research into them and, you know, all sorts of stuff. So I thought seeing that you do regularly check for reality, whereas I sort of do it every day when I wake up, I'll check the light, and I also do multiple ones. And I've also set myself that every time I look into a mirror, I do it as well. But,
that's a good one to have.
Because I look in the mirror so often that, you know, it's something.
What check do you do once you look in the mirror?
Well, I do the light switch one if it's available. Also do my hands.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Basically, I kind of switch it up. I just change.
Yeah, that's what you got to do. Yeah.
And until really yesterday when you told me, oh, I need to check for reality as well. You know, like look about and make sure that my surroundings are, you know, are good.
Yeah.
Not good, but you know, not weird. I've started doing that now every time I reality check as well.
Yeah.
I mean, if you explain some of yours, because yours, you've almost got a routine going on, and also you've got the that information from the book that tells you to do reality checks at certain points. I think that one's an awesome point.
Oh, yeah. There's a technique that Stephen LeBerg made up. He's got like a PhD in something to do with dreams.
Basically, he actually knows what he's talking about, whereas we just...
yeah. We're just regurgitating what he's saying, but in a much worse way. You don't do a podcast, so we've got him on that one.
One up, you Stephen LeBerg.
I do recommend his book if anyone's seriously interested.
And what is it called then?
Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming. Stephen LeBerg, PhD, and Howard Renningold.
You've just murdered his name.
He's dead. But yeah, Exploring the World of Lucid Dreaming. Type on Amazon, it's like £4 or something.
So, well worth the value.
Anyway, it's page 77, whoever's got the book.
Let's do reference notes.
I'm looking for it now to get the, Okay, it's called MILD. I don't know what it stands for, but it's this technique of basically improving your brain power. And the first stage of it is each day of the week, you're given 4 targets, okay? But you only look at that day for that day. So Sunday, what day is it today, Joe?
Monday, I think. Sunday.
I'll read out Mondays. This is what you could do to, as well if you want, people. All right, today, the next time you write anything down, you ask yourself, am I dreaming? And do a reality test. The next time you feel pain, you know, like a pinch or something, nothing hardcore, am I dreaming? All right, you ask yourself that. And then the next time you hear someone say your name, so if someone said Tom, I'll be like, right, am I dreaming? Quickly do a reality test. No. And then also the last one is the next time I drink something. So the next time you write anything down, you feel pain, you hear someone say your name, or you drink something, you remember that, you recite those things, and when those things next happen to you on today, you ask yourself, are you dreaming, and do a reality test. And it basically improves your brain power.
And those are different each day, right? They're not just the same thing each day. He's giving
They're different all the time, yeah.
Right. And I suppose, do you feel, though, that that's actually better or worse? Because if you give yourself, like, things that you do every day, eventually you'll come across it in a dream, won't you? And you'll become lucid. And because you've trained yourself so religiously to, you know, turn on a light on and off whenever you look in a mirror or whatever.
Yeah.
That when you do look in a mirror, you're 100% going to do it. Whereas because they're changing all the time, do you feel that you might not necessarily do it because you haven't trained yourself well enough with that specific situation?
No. Well, the way I see it is that they're things that are sometimes not very easy to remember if you just glance at 4 things in the morning and it's the first time you do it. It's not like it's not throughout that day every time.
Right.
Every time you have a drink, you're questioning if you're dreaming. It's the first time you have a drink of that day, or it's the first time you hear someone say your name, and it's more improving your state of mind.
Right.
And just being able to realize, well, this is the first drink I've had today. Right? Am I dreaming? Because it's just that state of mind, I think.
It's not really the routine that you're trying to get into. It's more that you're trying to actually improve your overall awareness rather than...
Yeah, it's right. Improving your awareness, really, I think. And because in the book it says, do this week's task, and if you've cocked it up and got hardly any of them, do it again. And then basically, when you've got them all, or most of them, write your own ones down.
Yeah. Well, they're not that hard. I mean, one of the ones that you were telling me was like, would I next see a red car? You know, stuff like that, which is...
Yeah, stuff like that, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I mean, that in itself is probably quite a cool tip for people that you know, enjoy doing reality tests and use that method to get into their dreams. I think that in itself is probably a really good tip.
It'll make you question the more of your reality as well. Because like this one here on Wednesday's one, it says the next time I handle money. Well, you handle money all the time.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's going to be quite.
If you don't think about it, which is awesome.
Yeah. So it's good. It's juicy.
It's juicy. It's get lucid. But what about? I always find this quite weird when I do reality tests, depending on which ones I do, I've kind of adopted the more safe ones nowadays. But originally,
safe ones.
No, but I mean for this concept thing, I'm like a lot of the time I'll do something and people will be like, "What the hell are you doing? What are you doing?" I'll be like, "Oh, I'm just and you can't go, "I'm just checking reality," because then they're like, "Right, just get the fucking jacket out, send it to the men."
Get him in the home.
So
I know what you mean, because at work when I do the tests, you're flicking off light switches, you're reading bits of text and writing things down, and people are just looking at you like, "What is going on with this kid?"
Especially for you, because you're in a packed restaurant.
I know. It's not really the customers; it's just the employees just take note of me. Because I don't know if we explained that one. Writing in a dream, if you read something, look away, and then look back, it will change or go into some weird hieroglyphics. So that's a good way to point out if you're dreaming or not.
I think there's so many different sort of methods for checking if you're lucid or not. It's quite
The more you practice these reality tests in waking life, the more you will when you sleep. And then when something is out of place and the lights don't turn on or the text changes or you can breathe out your nose while you're holding it, then you'll be like, "Right, this is a dream."
Yeah.
And you're there sorted. You get lucid.
Get lucid, sir. That's what this show's about.
You can do whatever you want.
There you go. Anything you dream of, literally.
Anything. Literally anything.
Let your dreams come true. How many poor puns can we get out of this?
That's it.
I don't know anymore.
No.
Run it dry. Run the well dry.
So,
I thought a nice little sort of segue. Kind of, actually. It's a very awkward segue. But the guys that you, like you said, at work, sort of awkwardly. You said that you've tried to explain lucid dreaming to them before. And what was their reaction when you sort of went into it?
Oh, what, when I was in a dream?
No, not when you were in a dream, when you were...
Oh, when I was at work?
Waking life,
Oh, yeah. Don't, if you're into lucid dreaming, don't ever start talking to your mates about it. or work colleagues, because they think you're insane. We're not insane. It's just the...
It is a science.
It is actually real, this lucid stuff. We're not just two mental people who like...
Mental people.
Yeah.
We could be.
Well...
But this isn't mental.
This isn't mental. This is real. Okay. That's what someone mental would say.
I'm just going to check quickly, Owen.
Test. Let's do a reality test. I'm going to do one now.
This is quite a ridiculous part of the podcast.
I like that. That was a live reality test.
There you go. Everyone should have been doing it right there and then.
Are you dreaming now?
Are you dreaming?
No, you're not.
No, I'm definitely not. This is...
Yeah,
not be in my dreams. I would not be sitting here talking to you in my dreams.
Well, I don't know. You dreamt about someone making a sandwich. That's how exciting your dreams are.
Oh, they're fantastic. The other day I walked down the stairs. Awesome. Took the bin out.
Stops. Took the bins out.
Bins out. Went down. Took the dog for a walk. Come back and had to do it all again.
In waking life.
Yeah. That was lovely. My favourite time.
Anyway, back to this. Anyway, I don't know how I got onto this, but people at work, I think, were talking about like religion and stuff. I'm not even going to touch that. But someone said to me, "What do I believe in?" And I say, "Well, I don't believe in any of that." But then I was like, "I have got into this thing called lucid dreaming, though." And then they sort of looked at me like, "What's that?" And I was like, "Oh, basically, it's when you become conscious and realise you're dreaming. You can start taking control of it." And because I'm quite passionate about it, I went off on a bit of a tangent and basically did a half-hour podcast to three people.
On yourself, by yourself.
and they looked at me like I was mental. And I was just like, How can you be so, because they believe in angels and demons and all this stuff. And I was like, "Well, you believe in that, but you can't believe in this, which has actually got proof and science to it."
Yeah.
The only reason it's not publicised, I think.
It's very strange that
I felt so awkward afterwards, because I just do the washing up, basically, and serve the drinks at this place I work at. And they just looked at me like I was mental. for going on about this.
I mean, even when we told like our closest friends.
Oh yeah.
That was even a struggle. I mean,
it was all right. I mean, most of them were pretty drunk at the time, so we got away with it, I think.
Yeah, just especially Mitch. He thought it was Lucy dreaming. Do you remember that? It's like, what is this Lucy dreaming then? We were like, no, it's not Lucy dreaming. It's not a woman dreaming. Just lying there dreaming. It's lucid. So like, what's that then?
That whole concept was wasted on it.
Yeah. Well, we've just explained it. He's like, yeah, but I thought that was Lucy dreaming.
No.
No, it wasn't. Oh, no, I think you make a good point about that religion thing, though.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to touch on it because it's a sore subject.
Well, I don't know. No, it's not. I'm not going to touch on the religion itself.
People believe in that, and there's no facts.
Well, it's not even about that. It's just that if people are open-minded enough to believe in something, regardless, you know, with have faith in something, then you know, you should really be able to sort of.
Having faith, like, you don't need to have faith in lucid dreaming because it's actually real. You don't have faith in a tree. A tree's just there. It's just lucid dream. It's just that people just it's not really that well publicised about it. That's all, really.
And that's why I like all these sort of films and stuff. Or like,
they're well spreading the word.
Definitely. So, I mean, even The Matrix.
Matrix based on it. And what else is on it? Oh, there's loads of films based on lucid dreaming, like anything that's sort of sci-fi and a bit like Frankenstein's and all this stuff.
And also, even like years and years and years ago, I'm talking hundreds of years ago, like things like, Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I guess probably, I mean, I know that was about taking a load of drugs, but that kind of, at some point, you know, coincides with lucid dreaming.
They talk about the same thing with The Matrix, and that's based on lucid dreaming, don't they?
Yeah, going down the rabbit hole. Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, it's been around for years. I think it's been around for ages.
Centuries.
Yeah. But it's only just started to get out there, and we thought
just cavemen like lucid dreaming that they can beat up T Rex. Like, oh,
well, there's not much else to do, is there? Nah. Back then.
I mean, I bet their lucid dreams are actually awful. Well, no, they must be mental because dinosaurs roam the world, so they could like ride a T Rex whilst like spearing down like a pterodactyl. It was like
their brain power weren't that much, though, was it? I mean, all they could do was cook a bit of raw meat and grumble. Grunt. Yeah. And then get the missus going. Yeah, although you
knuckles.
Wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
No.
Oh, hairy buggers. Oh.
I reckon you should try and dream yourself into a sort of lost world sort of situation.
I have trouble. Mate, I got lucid this morning. I had trouble getting off my front road.
Oh dear.
I will do that eventually because I can feel it building up. It's gonna hit home one day, and then there'll just be like a 2-hour long podcast.
That'll be epic. It'll just be you explaining how awesome your dream was, and me listening intently.
If we can get some followers going, it'd be great to hear if they just hear what they can remember about their dreams or.
Well, and tell us how to do it. Lucid.
Yeah,
like we said, we
tell us how to do it because
we aren't experts at all. We've only just started, and we kind of, you know, this is almost like an online documentation of how we're getting along, and what our chats are about. And I think the more you talk about it, the more you're going to be, you know, realizing that you're in reality you're in a dream. Because if your mind's constantly, you know, talking about it, then you're going to be more likely to check if you're in a dream or not. I think. We should really start talking about dream journals. We've gone supremely off topic. Massively. So,
That's how we do it, though.
It sure is. So I thought we'd go back to the original point of dream journalism. And there's so many conflicting, like, ideals on the internet about lucid dreaming in general. I mean, I don't know about your experience with it, but I'll read one thing and then literally I'll go onto an article next to it and it will be a completely opposite opinion on the first one. And I kind of struggle to get to the point where I'm like, all right, I'm going to try this one or this method or this. And it's just ridiculous how much information there is and how much misinformation there is as well.
Well, dreaming is such an abstract concept that any information could be right. You know, no one really knows. what the hell is going on. Well, I guess some people are starting to do now, but...
I mean, there's definitely more information about it now than there was, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, yeah, so my dream journals, like I said, I've only done 3 in a week, which isn't too bad, considering I wasn't actually remembering my dreams at all for the first part of the week. But I've sort of scribbled down as much information about the dream itself. But then afterwards, I read that a good idea is to, on the back of it, or, you know, another section of the journal, write an analysis for that certain night. So, for example, I had a dream. Hang on, let me just quickly check this dream. It was my second one, and it was like a family event, and some sort of craziness happened. And I checked it out. I wrote it down, sorry, and I reread it. And I tried to sort of place myself in the emotion that I was in at the time of the dream. And I sort of realised very quickly, actually. I thought it would take a while, but it didn't. It was a quick realisation that, you know, all that was going on in my life at that time was actually being treated in that dream. So, like I said, it was a big family event in the dream. And it was Christmas Eve that I had this dream. And I knew I had a massive family event. You know, like going around my family's, having a big Christmas dinner, you know, all that sort of stuff. I had a big,
dinner roses.
Yeah. Quite a few of them, especially about, put on loads of weight. And, yeah, so I knew I had like a big family sort of ordeal. And my dream the night before had sort of acted that out in my mind and, sort of touched upon some points subconsciously that I never thought about. And it was really cool because I came out of it, you know, I've got a, take things less seriously, you know, when family talk about it, and sort of enjoy myself rather than be stressed out about it all the time. And I had a much better Christmas from it, and that's just from recall.
Mate, that dreams. Is the power of dream recall.
Yeah, and also the analysing thing afterwards as well. I think people should do that. That's it's an awesome.
Wait, like what you get out of the dream?
Yeah, well, I wrote, you know, like I think this was due to Christmas being near and was touching on subjects I may have to face tomorrow at a family event.
Like, there you go.
I went through it, like, my thoughts of this one, I want to be a nicer person, but I can't really read my writing. That's how awesome it is. But not be treated like a child. I take things too seriously on the outside and need the inner chill to come out and enjoy myself. That was my analysis of that dream, right? Which was awesome because, like, it actually really helped. And I think if people put themselves in that frame of mind that you are in a dream whilst you're in a waking state, you give yourself the logic and you instantly are like, you can sort of clearly see what this dream was about. It's really cool. Yeah. So I really recommend people doing that because...
What do you reckon though, when you become lucid and you can control what you do, do you still get meaning?
I don't know actually. I mean, do you...
Oh!
It depends. Does it depend on her? Like, do you get random people popping up and random this and random that? Or is it purely, completely in your control?
You see, the thing is, I think it's how you act in the dream. It's like, you know, my dream, like, today when I was like, oh, randomly went into this woman's house, played piano, yeah, and had something to eat. Right, I'm not going to get anything from that, other than I can't play piano and I'm bloody hungry. when I went into that house, I asked the woman, is it right if I have something to eat out of her kitchen? What I could have asked her was, what do you represent? Or can you, you could ask them anything, really.
But would they give you a proper answer if you were like, oh, look, love, can you just tell me the meaning of my life? Yes, you're going to be a poet laureate. Oh, thank you.
You're going to work for First Class Royal Mail.
That would be the worst. You get to like the ending guy and you're like, mate, what is the meaning of my life? So, oh, you're going to work at Tesco's for the rest of your life, mate. You're loving it. It's just like...
your role is bog off promotions. Ah.
You're going to be a toilet roll salesman. Enjoy it. That'd be the shittest thing.
I suggest you get better at lucid dreaming and prefer this. Is there a job as a toilet roll salesman?
I don't know, probably somewhere. Somewhere where there's not much toilet roll. And you actually make quite a lot of money out of it. Like Saudi Arabia.
Oh.
Something. Nah, they must have loads.
Some sand, don't they?
Was it Thailand that they, like, use their left hand or something?
Thailand?
Oh, we're shitting on some cultures here. time. Shouldn't be doing this.
Good countries. I had Thailand's very good, reasonable holiday.
Oh, mate, I'd love to go there. Flights. I'd love to go to Thailand.
See one of them shows that I've been hearing about.
What were the horses? Nay.
No. The ping pong.
I'm going to like have a reoccurring dream about horses soon. It's too much to talk about it. Yeah, in Thailand. A horse in Thailand. Do you reckon they make a different noise?
Wait, are we making up a lucid dream now?
Oh, I think I nearly went into one. Nearly. Quite far.
You can't just nearly go into one.
Okay.
Just from waking state.
Superman. I just like, no. What was it we were talking about? If, like,
I have no idea. You're going on about your dream journal.
If you could click your fingers and you go stay into a lucid dream, how mental that would be. And like you could just do it in like everyday life where you're like, and then literally be on the floor.
It would be a good skill to have, but if you literally were doing an everyday task and click your fingers and, you know,
like,
you're in Tesco's.
Even if you heard some really cool jazz music and you sort of clicked it like out of instinct.
Think someone's having a cardiac arrest or like dying. If you saw someone drop dead on the pavement, it's like, oh no, he's just dreaming.
Just
it's
leave
fine.
Him. He's
just
fine.
Leave him. Don't wake him up.
He's getting lucid.
He's
fuck
got
off. Yeah, he's got it like held to his chest, like, oh, don't touch it.
Someone's just going, at least wait until he's in REM sleep. God's sake. Oh, which is rapid eye movement, which is the stage of when you go into a lucid dream, for people who didn't know.
Well, I think we should actually talk about that sleep paralysis, because that like lucidity thing. The lucidity thing? The
clicking of the fingers. That's a whole podcast in itself, though.
Nah, we've got loads of time left. We've only been running for 45 minutes. Right. What are we talking about, Luce? Oh, this is how bad we are at this podcasting business. Just sitting there like, oh yeah, we'll just talk about this, talk about that. Nah, well, sleep paralysis. There we go. Let's give it a good header.
Alright, let's smash this one on the head.
Kabang! Basically, I decided to try a different method to Smith when first delving in the depths of lucid dreaming. And I after he told me about it, I sort of went off and looked and did some research and that. And I found out about the wake-induced lucid dream, which is a different method into trying to become lucid. So instead of like realizing that you're in a dream whilst you're in a dream, it's going from a waking state, falling asleep, keeping your mind conscious enough to just fall yourself into a lucid dream. And it's actually ridiculously difficult. And
so your mind stays conscious while your body falls asleep,
yeah,
isn't it? Yeah.
But you can't stay too conscious because otherwise you won't actually go into a dream state. So the way I describe it is you have to keep your mind passive. So it's working, but it's passively conscious is the way
That is the perfect explanation for it.
I knew I did English A level for something.
But that is quite hard to achieve at first.
It's very, very hard.
Your mind's filled with thoughts and things all the time. And you'll notice as soon as you try and do a wild, which is the wake inducer thing, you'll just have so many thoughts in your head because you don't realise how much stuff's going on in your head all the time until you try and clear it.
I mean, I really struggle. I mean, the first night I got sleep paralysis instantly, but I think it's because I didn't know what to expect. And, you know, so I sort of laid there, resisted all the urges to move, just lay there quietly, thinking, just letting thoughts sort of come into my mind. But I sort of play with my thoughts, I'm quite bad. But I sort of lay there, and then it hit me, like, and it's really weird. It's such a weird experience, because the whole of my body sort of started going numb from the bottom to the top, and then it sort of lays it over your chest, and it almost feels like your breathing's really distant, you know, like someone else is breathing, and you're just sort of sitting there. It's really, really weird. And as soon as it got to my head, I felt my eyes go nuts, and that's when the adrenaline kicked in, and I woke up. But in retrospect, I know that that was rapid eye movement. So I was going into a REM sleep. So if I'd somehow held that off and had been calm, I probably could have gone a lot further than what I did. But you had a completely, completely different experience to what I did from sleep.
I had it the night after you, because like you juiced me up about talking about the paralysis thing, and I was like,
Before we do, I'll just quickly explain that sleep paralysis is where your body wants to go to sleep, and your mind is falling asleep. So obviously, if you're in like a conscious state, then your body sends you a message and says, can I go to sleep? So if you're not actually doing the message, this is really difficult to explain. So if your mind is still awake and you ignore the message, it's almost as if your mind's asleep. So then your body falls asleep. And the reason it goes into paralysis is because it doesn't, you know, when you dream at night, you don't want to like be acting it out, like punching a kangaroo in the air and stuff like that. It's stupid. So it makes you go into paralysis. So, but everyone has different methods and everyone has different experiences.
Right, there's a great example of like sometimes when the paralysis wears off before you're awake, sometimes you're being asleep and then just as you're about to wake up, you smash your head on the wall. Because you've been like trying to get away from something, or like you just jump and you smack your head. It's because the paralysis has just shut down. You're just about to wake up. Because sometimes it's not always in sync. And so sometimes you'll wake up and you'll still be in paralysis.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people experience this and didn't realise that, because everyone goes into sleep paralysis.
Yeah, I crap my pants when I had it.
And you'll wake up and you'll be like, shit, I can't move. And you'll be struggling like with all your effort. And you just won't move because the paralysis is there. And that's the worst thing you can do in those situations, because it just makes it even worse. The best thing to do is just sit there and relax. And
and also change your breathing pattern as well. So if you do find yourself in this situation, all you've got to do is just breathe really deeply, really, or and then change it to really fast, then change it to slow, then change it to like at a walking pace. You know, so if you change your breathing, your body will know that you're awake because it's checking on that. So it will wake itself up. So if you just don't panic, just change your breathing pattern. It's a natural thing. It happens every night.
Yeah.
Your experience, like I was going to say, it was completely different to mine.
Mine was ridiculously trippy.
Yeah.
They're both trippy, aren't they? But I just did the thing where you keep a clear mind. I mean, I had a few hours sleep before I did this.
Which is the best way to do it, by the way.
It's the best way to do it. And I was up for about, I don't know, an hour. I had a cup of tea. Went back to bed and just completely chilled out. Kept my mind clear. I did. You might start to see some sort of hallucinogenic, like sort of colours and stuff in your. You know, like when you look
at the
sun.
I get a flashing white light.
Yeah,
I get it at the bottom of my eyes as well. I don't get it at the top. It just flashes massively at the bottom. It's all everyone's different. So you do get some sort of visual though.
Yeah, you'll get some sort of colour coming into you while your eyes are shut. But the thing is, key to is not to like indulge yourself in it too much and just let it pass and just take note of it, but without getting involved in it.
And to not get so excited, because I completely suffer with this. I get to a certain point, I'm like, oh, here we go, because I realise that it's happening. If you try and not realise that it's happening and keep your mind completely clear of it,
if you get too juiced up, you're gonna wake up because it's like trying to go to sleep while you're on a roller coaster. Cause you're getting that adrenaline.
Yeah, that's a good way of it.
Go to sleep. Oh, I can't go to sleep.
Yeah, it is like that though. That's very, very true. Because so, like you could get the calm parts where you probably could get to sleep.
That'd be a well good technique, like to practice lucid dreams. Like go on the Nemesis Inferno and just don't and not enjoy it and be boring.
Be boring. Like, be beige.
Yeah, just I don't know. Do some sewing or something.
Sewing, knitting. I'm making my grandma a scarf. Fuck off.
Just keep that state of just. Oh, controlling yourself, basically. Because, yeah, it is hard when you start to feel like, oh, you could go lucid or you could start going as paralysis. You get too juiced.
Yeah.
And then you'll wake up. But my one, yeah, when I went into the paralysis, kept a clear mind and I had a few thoughts coming in and out, but I didn't take any note of it. And then all of a sudden, my whole body felt like it was vibrating. It felt like I was like having a fit, like proper shaking. I heard some crazy sounds, like some ringing and, I can't explain some of the sounds. It's just completely messed up. And then I saw like, you know, kaleidoscope.
Yeah.
Where you get all like all the patterns. And it was like a green kaleidoscope. And it was going mental. And on this kaleidoscope, each individual image was the same image, but it was like a cartoon show. And it was so true. I mean, it's different all the time, but this is just what happened to me. And I was freaking out. But at the time, I remembered to keep calm and just look at the images and not get too involved. And then eventually I was in the dream world because once you fall asleep consciously, you're immediately lucid once you're in the dream and you can start doing what you want. Yeah. Whereas the other way
is it clearer or is it worse or is it?
Oh, I would say that the dream is much more vivid.
Yeah. Yeah, so it is probably a better method for people to do later on in their sort of lucid dreaming career rather than right at the start.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, I try and do both of them.
I think you should, yeah, just give sort of put your fingers in as many pies as possible.
Yeah, actually, get them pies out.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're going to find a flavour you like. Mine's cherry.
Eat them all. Yep, get lucid, eat a beast. A beast?
I mean, I read a completely different method to doing sort of wilds and in itself sleep paralysis, whereas you sort of just went for the, well, I'm just going to try and sleep and think about, don't think about anything.
Yeah, basically.
Which I think is probably a better method, because you were talking about it the other day where, you know, if you don't think about it, which is completely true, if you don't think about it, then you've got more of a chance of falling asleep in the first place. So if you go into it with a frame of mind of, oh, I'm just going to sleep, then I find that I actually instantly go into it a lot faster than when I was sort of going, right, I'm just going to wait for this sleep paralysis to come on.
And then
this is going to happen, then this is going to happen. Like, I just sort of,
You're keeping your thought process going and your mind's not as clear.
See, what happened last night, which I found was awesome, right? I hold a spoon in my hand, right? Because I read a good reality check test to do whilst you're like that is to have a spoon in your hand, and either you're in a dream and you don't have a spoon in your hand, and you can then instantly know, oh, I've not got a spoon in my hand, I'm in a dream. Or if you do have a dream and you've got the spoon in your hand, you can push it and it will bend instantly. Which is actually really cool. So I sleep with a spoon in my hand, which is very strange.
I've never heard of this one until you told me about it.
Last night I had a really cool idea where I sort of thought, well, if I hold my hand up slightly and grip the spoon above my hand, when I actually genuinely fall asleep, the spoon's going to drop. And I did that, and I was proper just about to fall asleep, like, completely. And then the spoon dropped into my hand, and my mind just woke up. My body was still in paralysis, but my mind was awake. I was like, oh my God, this is the tits. This has worked perfectly. And then I started getting the vibrations going. I was like, oh, here we go. I got all in my legs. And then I got so juiced up, I just woke up. That method of holding that spoon in my hand, I'm going to try again tonight, because like, it just literally dropped into the palm of my hand. And it wasn't enough to wake me up completely, but it just set my mind to think, oh, this is what I'm going to be doing.
They're the sort of methods, though, that people think you're mental.
Yeah, but...
Don't mind me. I'm just going to bed with a load of cutlery.
Going with a
tea towels.
I'm going to do the dishes as well whilst I'm in my dream. Scrubbing pans.
Sharpen up the knives. Don't go to bed with a knife. That is the worst.
Why I picked a spoon.
Spoon, yeah.
I mean, even a fork.
Even a fork's bad enough.
I mean, you could literally roll over and have a fork.
Maybe a butter knife. You'd be all right with that.
I don't think anything knife-orientated.
Anything knifey. Well, butter knives are smooth and...
Smooth and buttery.
Smooth and buttery. Utterly buttery.
I still wouldn't condone a knife in the bed.
No. All right, so no one take a knife to bed.
That's lucid dreaming tip. Number one, knives. Never take a knife to bed.
Spoons are allowed. Get spoony.
Yeah, spoons are great.
Spoon it up.
Spoon it up. So ill, loving it. So yeah, that's one of the weirdest sort of quirks I've already got from trying to lucid dream, sleeping with a spoon in my bed. So, basically, have you got anything else to chat about now, Smith? Because I think we've pretty much covered everything for today.
I think we spooned it out, mate.
I think we've chatted for a while.
Yeah, spooned all the content out.
But
there's plenty more to come.
There sure is. I mean, to be honest, you know, it is our first show, so hopefully everyone's enjoyed it, because I've well enjoyed doing it.
I loved it.
It's awesome. And, you know, we're only going to get better, and we're only going to sort of get more involved and more experience with lucid dreaming.
Like, we want to hear from everyone else as well.
Yeah, we do.
If you've got tips that will help us, then let us know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
It's just a community, really, where we can all get lucid.
I mean, even if you're, you know... You're actually a genuine scientist who's got experience under their belt and has researched it for many years. If you want to come on and talk to us, that would be absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like we said, we're not experts and we're just very passionate about the subject. And
also, if you're some mentalist, get on here as well. We'd love to hear from you.
Basically, we want to hear from anyone.
We can have a chat from the mentalist and the scientist and see what happens.
Yeah. Also, even if you're brand new to the subject, like us, almost, you know, just talk to us.
Yeah. See what you think. We're talking rubbish, or if you believe in it, or what.
Our emails. We've got getlucid.uk@hotmail.co.uk. So you can send us emails through there to, you know, either if you want to come on the show, or if you want to, you know, if you've got a question. Next week, we hopefully will have some, you know, user questions, because I know I've got some friends that will at least listen to this show and will give us some questions. So at least we've got someone. But yeah, if you've got any emails, so that was getlucid.uk@hotmail.co.uk. That's for emails. Our website's getlucid.uk.blogspot.com. That's where we're going to be posting all these podcasts, and tell all your friends and that, because it's awesome. Have you got any shout-outs, Smith? Anything in particular you want to talk about? Or?
Oh, well, shout-out to Juicy Webs, who created our logo for us.
Oh, there we go. I forgot about them.
Yeah, it's a web design company, juicywebs.com. Lovely guys.
There you go. And I'd also like to shout out some of the forums as well that I've been sort of looking at. In fact, I'm just going to quickly get them up now, because it's quite bad that I don't actually have them. Give me 2 seconds. Ooh. Yeah, because I don't know, you know, I always like looking at forums, because I'm a bit of a geek, but these Lucid forums, although, you know, there's not a massive community based around Lucid Dream at the moment, but some of these forums are trying to push it in that direction, which I really admire. So the forum that I use a lot is dreamviews.com. So you should check that out, because they're very good. We're no way associated with any of these guys. I'm just bigging them up, because I think they've done a good job. And what was the other one? ld4all.com as well. ld4all, and that's the number 4, and that's another good forum that I've really enjoyed going through.
Is that ld4all? I've not heard that one.
Yeah, it's a really good one as well. You see,
I'll check that out.
So those are all my shout-outs as well, because I think anyone that's trying to push this in the direction of community-based and, you know, very internet-based gets a big thumbs up from me. Oh, that's very cheesy.
Oh, cheesy thumbs.
I think we've covered everything anyway, so...
Yeah, I hope everyone's enjoyed it, and get see Lucy!
We'll see you next week, ladies and gents.
Oh,
juicy!
Yeah, Lucy.